Kevin, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thanks. Thanks for joining us on the program about this one. Now, obviously, to be rather generous in the way we phrase this, Israel's always had a fairly rocky relationship with Palestinian citizens living within its borders. This new law, what is it hoping to achieve?
Well, this new law actually arises from a decision by the Israeli High Court last year, which found that removing permanent residency status from Palestinians in East Jerusalem was unlawful. But the court stayed the order to allow the Israeli parliament to correct this by passing legislation. So Israel has, in fact, removed residency status from many Palestinians in East Jerusalem, almost 15,000 over the years since 1967 when it conquered East Jerusalem. So this isn't a new process. What the parliament has done has been to deal with the situation where the Israeli High Court had found that this was unlawful. Under Israeli law, this is now lawful.
It was found unlawful, so they went ahead and changed the law.
That's right. But the Israeli High Court allowed for that process to happen.
Now, looking at sort of the situation overall, this also breaks a number of international and humanitarian laws as well. I mean, just how many are we talking about in terms of laws broken?
Well, there are several aspects of this which do violate international humanitarian law or the law of armed conflict. Firstly, one of the reasons for removing residency status is breach of loyalty, which is defined in the legislation very broadly to include Palestinians with ties to terrorist groups, would-be attackers, or those convicted of treason. Implementing a provision which allows for breach of trust implicitly contradicts international humanitarian law, which says that a state which is in military occupation can't require a pledge of loyalty. Secondly, this could be construed as forcible transfer, which is also forbidden. Once Palestinian residency status is removed, the Palestinian could then not work or receive welfare benefits, therefore has to leave. Could be construed as a forcible transfer. In other words, Israel doesn't actually evict people whose status has been removed, but in effect makes it impossible for them to stay. Also, since Israel has used this provision in the past also to remove the status from relatives of Palestinians convicted of terrorist offences, this could be construed as a collective punishment, which is also unlawful.
Well, that's quite intriguing to me. Obviously, turning these Palestinians that we're talking about into basically unpeople within their society. It's interesting to me, though, as you mentioned there, this breach of loyalty aspect is rather broad in its kind of language. And yet it sounds to me, if they're applying it in these specific cases, it's certainly not going to apply across the board to, all 420,000 Palestinians actually living in East Jerusalem.
No, that's right. As I say, since 1967, Israel has in fact done this in about 14,500 cases, which is a formidable number, but over a long period. So, it's not tantamount to removing the residency status for all of the Palestinians in East Jerusalem. But in allowing for this process to take place, Israel is violating international law.
Are we likely to see any sort of real condemnation for the breaking of that international law? Israel isn't exactly the most receptive country to outside interference, you might say.
Well, that's right. Certainly, the human rights NGOs like Human Rights Watch have condemned Israel in the past for removing residency status and for passing this law. There may well be representations done privately by, for example, the West Europeans, but it's unlikely to cause any significant repercussions for Israel in its relations with other states. That's quite true.
Well, Kevin, thank you very much. Really do appreciate you joining us, having a chat with us about this one.
Fine. That's my pleasure. Cheers.